Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Professor Greg Stevens, as if you didn't already know. But I wanted to say this because there may be some of you that are thinking about Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and you're hearing all of this, and you're saying, where do they get all of it? In this book right here. I've spent 55 years studying this, and the professor came along and had studied a lot in that first covenant, and it's then the Hebrew language and so forth. And he teaches First Covenant Survey in Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And you can have a part of that if you would like. Praise God.
Amen. I encourage you to.
Yes, I do too.
I encourage you to. Even if you just want to know more about him, you say, I don't know if I'm called or not. Well, it doesn't ever hurt to learn more.
Greg, I had a young man. When I went to Oral Roberts University, I planned to stay I wanted to stay there and be part of Oral Roberts' ministry because he and I had become so close. And so I stayed, fully planned to stay, and ended that first year. And I was in the elevator with Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and holding Oral Roberts' coat when Billy Graham gave the first graduating class, spoke to the first graduating class. And I thought, I'm just staying here. The Lord said, no, I'm ready for you now. So anyway, and then I had a young man later. I think about him a lot. He came to one of our meetings, and of course, I met him there at the university. He said, Brother Copeland, could I speak with you? And so we just had lunch together. And he said, with tears in his eyes, he said, you were only there one semester, and look what's already going on with you. He said, I stayed the whole 4 years, and he said, I still am not sure what God wants me to do. Hmm. Well, you should have settled that while you were there. And he could have, because I know what Brother Roberts taught, and he taught the Holy Spirit. He's the God in the now. Mm-hmm. But he encouraged the students to do that, but somehow he missed it. And if you come to a school like Rhema or like KCBC, that's one of the first things you're going to find out.
Karis.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Andrew Womack School. That's one of the first things you're going to find out. You're going to learn how to hear the voice of God, and you're going to find yourself in the Bible. Jesus found himself in the book of Isaiah.
We call it around here drinking out of the fire hose. I mean, that first week, you're going to feel like you've got a fire hose turned on you. You know, Jesus wept over the city because they'd missed their day of visitation.
That's right.
They had been for thousands of years looking for him. The reason most people miss it today is they've missed their day of visitation. The day of visitation is the Holy Spirit, the God now. And when you learn to listen and flow by the Holy Spirit of God, he'll lead you and direct you and guide you into all truth. This is your day of visitation.
I said all that to say this. We've been talking, especially from the writings of the Apostle John. And, of course, this is the man that they tried to kill and couldn't. This is the man to whom Jesus gave his mother.
Right, charge his mom, yeah.
And charged him to take care of her. He was the apostle of love, not just faith.
That's right. Because faith works by love. He got the revelation.
Yes, he did.
I want my faith to work.
So, I mean, they couldn't do anything with him, so they threw him away. Threw him out on the Isle of Patmos. And he wrote the final book of the Bible.
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, may I have your attention, please? He kept talking about what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he kept talking about he that overcomes. Excuse me. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. And then in the third chapter of the Revelation, in the 19th verse, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's covenant talk.
Yes, sir.
What he has said here, if you'll allow me in. Now, you remember this is an Eastern book. And it has to be read through covenant eyes.
Yes, sir.
An Eastern custom. If you will allow me in, then look at it again. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In other words, once I come in, I am the covenant partner here. If you will allow me in, I will eat with you and you will eat with me, but I'll pay for all the food. I'm the senior covenant partner here. If you will allow me in, just let me in, then I'll pay for everything. I'll take care of the house. I'll take care of the food. I'm the senior partner in this covenant of blood here, in my blood. I'll eat with you and you'll eat with me. Are you ready for this? To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my Father's throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Whoa! And then the thing you need to do from there is go over to the book of Hebrews. And the Apostle Paul explains all of this. Yeah. He explains New Testament tithing. He tells what our high priest now does with our tithe. Glory to
Amen.
God.
Let me show you another verse, Revelation 4. Revelation 4 and verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Yes.
For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. That's our purpose. You want to know what your purpose is. You want to know what the purpose of the earth is. There it is right there.
There it is.
And that's a new heaven and a new earth. This is the spirit of power that we're talking about. Now, we read from John 16 prior to the Holy Ghost coming, but if you go over, speaking of Paul, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Let's get over there. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah, and him crucified. So his whole connection is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Look on down here in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power.
Yes.
The Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How will it be when we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet, notice that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they'd have known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. There it is. We have the knowledge that you were talking about. This is on the other side of it.
Yes, we do. Now, you continue to read, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I've heard people quote that and just kind of moan and groan about it. You know, it is, oh, I have not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Yes, yes.
The Spirit of power. Glory to God.
For He searches all things, even the deep things of God.
Yes. Wow. You know, there's a mystery right here that is lost. If you not read it carefully. For what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who knows the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. We have it.
Yes.
Yes.
We have it. Now, this, I'll tell you how I use that. Every time. Now, if I'm in the cabin, I lay my hands on the wall of the airplane. Mm-hmm. Father, we plead the blood. Now, what did I say when I said that? We plead the blood. That blood ratified the covenant.
Yes, sir.
Both of them. And
it made you righteous.
Yes. Revelation 12:11. Yeah. We've overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, we plead the blood over this airplane for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every evil thing, every evil plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering spirits, lift us up in Your hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone, and keep us in all of our ways according to the 91st Psalm, and bless our partners all over the world. Mm-hmm. Every single time, every time I'm in the cabin, if I'm in the cockpit, if I'm about to fly, before I do anything, before I start an engine or anything, I pray that same prayer, except I go to this. And in the name of Jesus, I exercise the mind of Christ to fly. Amen. Because You gave it to me. You called me to do it. And I receive the I will not forget anything, and I will not do anything unsafe. Because You trained me and taught me.
Okay, now there you go. That's the key. You don't just go into an airplane, having never even been in the cockpit of an airplane, and claim the mind of Christ and how to fly.
No, sir.
You've diligently trained yourself.
Yes.
And now you're calling into remembrance those things that you've learned.
Yes.
That His supernatural power be attached to your natural.
Yes.
It'd be foolishness and presumption to say, I'm going to go into the hospital and do brain surgery on somebody I have never trained. But see, God will call somebody like our good doctor friend, who's
Avery Jackson.
Who trained himself. Now he does the same thing, though, when he goes to do brain surgery.
He does.
And begins to pray like that. So whatever it is you've been trained to do and you've trained yourself to do, now the power will come upon what you've put your hands to prosper.
I asked a brain surgeon that did surgery on a young man, and a young man that good friend, and he had a tumor on his brain. And I asked him about it, and I said, "Now, when you go into a surgery like that, do you pray in the spirit?" "Oh, Brother Copeland," he said, "absolutely." He said, "I pray in it." Now, Dr. Jackson said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said, it edifies me, calms me down, and I'm listening to, he said, "I get in the place of listening to the Spirit of God." And he said, "I just started to remove that tumor, and I heard the Lord say, 'Stop.'" And he said, "I stopped and drew back." He said, "If you make the normal cut, you'll kill him." So he said, "I went back," and he said, I moved back from that and removed that tumor. He said, "Once I did it, I saw that that thing wasn't shaped like I thought it was." And he said, "I would have cut into his brain." Now, how many times do you think someone was on the operating table?
Too many.
And now, and they don't have any idea why that happened. But now, this is the reason why. It is so valuable to depend on Him and to look to Him for everything, every idea, everything. "Well, I've lost my car keys, I've misplaced." Well, when's the last time you prayed over it? "Well, I didn't think about that." Well, maybe you need to...
make that your first thing.
Make that your first thing. And maybe you need to learn to put the keys in the same place every time instead of just laying them down anywhere that...
You're right. Okay, you're talking about a Hebrew word, another Hebrew word for power that we haven't discussed yet.
Let's discuss it.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
You better buckle up. All right. We talk about willpower versus God's power. That's what you're kind of describing about. In Psalm 90 and verse 11, Psalm 90, verse 11, it's another word for power. We have so many believers that try to be strong in their own strength, and they miss out. Now, listen to this. This will sound like a negative verse, but it's not. "Who knoweth the power of thine anger?" Question mark. "Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." Now, knoweth there is intimacy in the Hebrew. That word for knoweth here is for knowledge, for intimacy. It's like an intimate relationship. That's what we need with Him, is that kind of intimacy. That is a weapon. Now, I'm going to show you something. The word here for power is the Hebrew word oz, and it's three little Hebrew letters, ayin, zayin, zayin. And so when you look at it, ayin is the eye, the pupil, the apple of your eye. And so zayin is a weapon. So you have the eye and a weapon in Hebrew when you look it out. So it's when I learn to see things the way He sees things, I have a weapon that works against. That's what Dr. Avery and that surgeon,
yes,
he saw it the way the Father sees. It's learning to see things the way my Father sees things provides a weapon for me. And so that root word is oz. That's where the King Uzziah gets his name. Jehovah is my strength. He was the second or third most prosperous king under Solomon because he had learned that if I can see things the way God sees things, He'll prosper me.
Praise God.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
And when we begin, it's a power. There is a power, for it's God, Deuteronomy, who gives you the power, there's the word, when I begin to see things the way He sees things, glory to God. Now I see opportunities other people miss.
Since I brought that up about that brain surgeon and that young man, let me bring up another. Our family doctor was Dr. James A. Marr. And back in those days, he was my AME. He's the one that gave me my flight physical. And I had the privilege of being the one that checked him out in a Beechcraft Bonanza. So we were close. And so he called me. He said, my wife has been diagnosed with a tumor on her brain. And he said, I want you to come down and anoint her with oil right before she goes into surgery. And I said, well, what a privilege. So I was there in the hospital, and she was already under sedation. She had this big smile on her face, and I anointed her with oil and laid hands on her. It was just a precious moment. So they put us in just a standby room there, just an empty room. And so he and I both are in there praying, and both of us praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon came back, and he had this troubled look on his face. Well, I didn't like the looks of it, neither did Dr. Marr. And he walked around in there a little bit. He said, Jim Ed, now, you know I've been doing this a long time, right? Yeah. I don't know how to tell you this. He said, I got in there, and there was an indentation where that tumor had been, and it's not there, and I don't know what to tell you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
And he said, I know what to tell you. We just jumped and shouted and praised God all around the room.
That's that power.
That's that power.
And we've so limited. The only limiting force of that power is us.
Yes, it is.
Deuteronomy 8, a verse you know very well. Deuteronomy 8, 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto His fathers to this day.
Now that, the teaching on covenant, and David, Bishop David Oyedepo, Lagos, Nigeria, He said, the covenant of healing, I had no problem with and all of that. But he said, the prosperity part, he said, I just couldn't get it. Well, in Gloria's book, God's Will for You, and she talked about prosperity, and I talked about it, and that was one of the verses. Yeah. It is a covenant.
That's right.
To get wealth. He gives us the power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant.
Yes.
And so He took both our books and he said, when I, in Mama Gloria's book, he said, I had a visitation of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord said to me, prosperity and covenant wealth is of me. I want my people well, and I want my people prosperous.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and this planet is His. For God so loved the world that He loved the world that He sent His Son. And so now Jesus has redeemed us and restored us into that power that had been given away.
Sir.
And it includes all of the prosperity, includes everything. So the mind of Christ includes all of that. We have sold ourselves short.
Now, of course, we're out of time. But when Christian people begin to financially prosper, the devil knows what you'll do with your money. And he hates it. And he'll cause you all the persecution he can. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you. This year, experience Wide Open Faith at the Southwest Believers Convention, right here in the beautiful city of Fort Worth in the great state of Texas.
You tend to yourself and you show love and you show compassion and you walk strong and you walk right because power follows that. Power follows holiness. Power follows righteousness. Power follows it. The power to deliver. The power to stand healed and whole and well. The power to have plenty. The power to be supplied. The power to snatch people out of hell follows a church that is separated unto Him. We are supposed to be praying, and I'm not supposed to be preaching, but I cannot help myself.
This year, experience Wide Open Faith at the Southwest Believers Convention. So come get a taste of Texas and save the date for August 1st through the 6th for the Southwest Believers Convention. Register today at kcm.org/southwest.
Hallelujah!
Are you done with tolerating defeat in your life? Here's the good news. You can live free from all the baggage of the enemy. You can even demolish burdens in the lives of those around you. How? Through the power of God's anointing. In the audio series, The Power of the Anointing, Kenneth Copeland guides you through Scripture to reveal the truth about the anointing and what it can do for you. You will learn exactly what the anointing is, the benefits that the anointing holds, and how to use the power of the anointing. This anointing carries all the power and benefits that Jesus came to deliver: joy, healing, freedom, eternal life. You can do all things through the anointing. Imagine dominating hurdles in your life and achieving success, and having the same type of impact that Jesus did in lives and circumstances everywhere you go. Freedom and success are all wrapped up in the anointing, which is Christ in you. You can live victoriously in every area of your life. Let God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power completely set you free. Request your free audio series, The Power of the Anointing, by Kenneth Copeland on kcm.org/victory offer. Or when you call 877-615-4267. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I am so glad you were with us today. Don't you miss tomorrow, because there's a number of things here that we need to talk about together. But until then, this is Kenneth Copeland. And Greg, what's his name? Stevens, that's your name. Gregory Stevens.
Yes, sir.
Professor Gregory Stevens. Yes, and all the members of the class, reminding you that God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org/victory offer or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.